Hi, my name is Pastor Matthew Vroman of Safe Harbor Church in Accutan, Alaska, and this is the Hour of Hope. I'm so glad you're with us. This is a time where we focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's start with prayer and enjoy some great music of praise to Jesus. Lord, thank you for this time. Bless everyone that's listening. I pray we'd have a good program today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, wherever y'all, come on, clap your hands like this.
Let's go!
Come on, let's sing it out, yeah.
Jesus, worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
Your
worthy is the Lamb who slain.
Him for His grace. Let's give Him a shout of praise right here. Yeah.
We're good.
So appreciate it.
We are good.
He's master of the grand entrance, whose presence still holds attention.
Oh, man. I'm all pumped up, maniacs. Hulk Hogan here.
Terry Bollea made the name present with unmatched success and global recognition in sports entertainment. A larger-than-life icon that transcends wrestling, saving his biggest splash not far from his Clearwater Beach store and restaurant. Public baptism.
Mm-hmm.
You have said the greatest moment of your life.
Yes, without a doubt.
Terry, what did that mean for you?
It broke down that fourth or fifth wall to tell people the truth about my Lord and Savior, how, you know, you should look at things or how you should care for people and not judge people. And it set me free. I wasn't that perfect vessel that I should be or should have been. Once I was baptized, I felt I was all anew. It really was a major pivot in my life.
It was so fun to be a part of Terry's baptism and to see the ripple effect that has made all over the world. He had people in Japan calling him just a couple of minutes later. This is the way that Christians go public in their faith, and he felt it important to do what Christians do.
Hulk Hogan, what does the person of Jesus Christ, Terry, bring to you?
That God presence in us. You know, that still small voice. So what Terry brings to the table is a meat suit, you know, a meat suit filled with the Spirit of Christ, and it's a testing ground for me. I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 14, but I derailed. It wasn't my life. He has given me the opportunity to prove that I'm faithful and I'll never make those same mistakes again. My faith, the momentum was overwhelming. There was nothing stopping me.
What became the most draining to sustain the Hulk Hogan recognition?
Well, 35 years of wrestling still had that bug in me where I liked to see if I was getting approved. After I slammed one guy and looked to the crowd, I guess I made a crazy face, but the look that I gave a better reaction than the wrestling move. I went, okay, they want to see me be a little goofy and have fun in here. And that character launched me into this crazy genre where it all intertwined together. You know, the character and the wrestling.
But why the demand for your brand?
I like that. Why the demand for my brand? I think it's generational trust. Because the parents and the grandparents all know who I am, and the kids know who I am. But like in Mozambique and Zimbabwe and Malaysia, they might not know Tom Brady, but they know Hulk Hogan. You know, so it's kind of amazing how many homes I've been into around the world on a consistent basis every weekend for 40 plus years.
So Hulk Hogan has that Clearwater Beach store, restaurant. How do you manage the brand and Terry, all the while tending to the expectations of people?
Well, the moment I come home, the headband comes off the bald head, and you know, it's just Terry. Dad, father, husband, friend. I have no wrestling pictures in my house. I have no wrestling belts, just Terry. The problem is the moment I leave the house, the moment I walk out the front door, the world doesn't want Terry. And the mailman goes, hey, Hulk. So instead of saying, good morning, sir, I go, hey, brother, how you doing? I give him just a little, because they expect it. You know, there are a lot of tributaries that parlays off this Hulk Hogan character, which I really appreciate and value very much. So it's not just a job, but I've learned to separate myself.
The single most memorable moment for you as a wrestler. If you had to narrow it down, what would it be?
It didn't have anything to do with being in the ring. It had to do with after the match at Madison Square Garden, January 23rd, 1984, where I wrestled the Iron Sheik for the WWF title. Iran had 444 American hostages, and they were keeping our Americans. And the Iron Sheik, he was the actual bodyguard for the Shah of Iran. He was the real deal, and the fans knew it. And I was the all-American character, Hulk Hogan. That night, I flew my parents up. And you know, my dad and I didn't see eye to eye because I was going to University of South Florida here in Tampa, and I was majoring in finance and management. But when I left college and didn't become an accountant or whatever that degree would lead me to, there was a huge divide as far as communication with my dad and I. You know, so it kind of was a void. And so that night after Madison Square Garden, you know, my dad goes, "Man, you know, Terry, I'm very proud of you. You made the right decision. I love you so much. I'm so sorry that I tried to make you do something you didn't want to do." So that was the greatest night for me, for my dad to say that to me, because I really didn't know if I was right or not. It just, I was doing what I loved doing.
Yeah.
And to me, that felt right. But then to have my dad confirm it, but I had to be the main event at Madison Square Garden to get him to break. But that was probably the greatest part of my wrestling career, to have that moment with him, because I really valued what he thought about me. I think he needs to put my blue headband on. It matches his shirt perfectly. Just kidding.
No, I'm all for it.
I'm just kidding.
I'm all for it. Are those Andre's?
Yeah, those are his tights, brother. People don't realize how big he was.
He left you those tights.
We snatched them.
He was your guy, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize his fingers were like bananas. Yeah. You know, they were just, he was huge.
What do you miss most about him?
His honesty. I miss Andre's honesty, because he didn't pull any punches with people, and he had a very, very rough life. You know, I would walk with him to the airport, and I could hear people saying horrible comments and things, because, you know, he's 7'4" and 650 pounds. And then I traveled with him a lot, and he could never sit in that chair. There was never a comfortable chair, never could hold a fork or a knife he could work with. Whenever he'd get a hotel room, like at the Marriott, I'd go in his room and I'd help him push the beds together, you know, and he still wouldn't fit on two double beds. So I miss his guidance and his friendship, you know, and basically him being so honest, just really point A to B, no spice on it, man. He hits you with the real deal. So that's what I miss about him. Well, can I tell you a crazy wrestling story?
Yeah, of course.
A buddy of mine, Roddy Piper, passed away. Roddy Piper. And he was really trying hard to, you know, surrender and try to get his life straight. So, I mean, we would text every single day. Now, in the wrestling business, for 25 years, we couldn't stand each other. We were at each other's throats. I know it's predetermined, all that, but he did not like me, and I did not like him. And that's just how it was. Well, once we got older and, you know, we basically had some conversations. And so we started talking a lot, and he started asking me about my spirituality. He really didn't connect, but he was very curious, you know. He wouldn't surrender. And all of a sudden, he passes away. And it was an A&E special about Roddy Piper. And the very thing, when they get ready to go to credits, it wasn't a text message, but it was a text message that was a voice message on the text. You know, so he must have. But this text message came in 2 days after he died. And the text message goes, "I'm just loving you, my brother. I'm just walking with Jesus and loving you, my brother." I was like, he would have never said that when he was here.
And Terry, he wanted you to hear it, right?
Yeah, because he would have never said that when he was here. So it's amazing how things work, you know. So
the difference between being outside the ring and watching as a spectator or getting into the ring is if defining, this is what I am, right?
Yeah, you can relay that on so many levels, because it's almost like people, you know, that say they're a Christian and they know of our Lord and Savior, but they really don't know him. You know, everybody I meet's a wrestler, talking about wrestling, but there's a huge difference when you actually get in that ring, just like you said, and that's exactly the perfect way to describe it.
Once you knew things were scripted, predetermined outcome, difficult for you to maintain the competitive side while entertaining?
As a businessman, I look at it completely different, because when a lot of wrestlers look at it and go, it's predetermined, it's a work, I'll take it easy on you out there. If I was to grab your arm like this and put you in a top wrist lock here, that's a work. That's a work. But if I go to the outside, that's a shoot. That means you're actually trying to hurt somebody. Break bones, submission holds. Oh, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. It's predetermined. Well, it does, because if I'm the good guy and my merchandise is selling five times more than you, that's a shoot to me.
started, man.
No, don't
make me come over there.
Oh, it's okay. I'm way past my prime. You have an easy day with me. Real easy. Don't forget it's predetermined.
Oh, they're right. But isn't that a lot like the lives we live? We attempt to write the script to control the outcome. Right, Terry?
Very funny. This whole thing is a shoebox, brother.
Yeah.
And we're in the shoebox, and he's in control. And it's going to happen exactly the way he wants it to happen and exactly the way it's supposed to be. And there are no coincidences.
Yeah.
None. First time God talked to Moses at the burning bush, he told him, I am that, and I am this, believe it or not. I'm this energy here. God says, I'm this, and I'm this. I had to have this because it was so important to me.
All of us are in our own ring, using stage names, characters. Mm-hmm. How did you take off that mask?
I get sick and tired of myself. You know, the two people in my head, the ego and the real I am. I mean, I just surrendered. I just said, I can't do it anymore. You know, and I had went back to the Bible, you know, and I started reading again. And I'm either all the way in or all the way out with whatever I do. So if you're with me, there's no guesswork. If I'm with my Lord and Savior, I'm all the way in.
What message do you now convey at this stage of your life?
It's a spiritual war in this fallen world. To turn to the truth, seek him and you shall find. To step outside their comfort zone and, you know, accept Christ, knowing that he would heal the land and heal this nation and heal the people. It just seems like such an easy choice for everyone. If you'll just surrender, accept him as your Savior.
Shawn Michaels was born to be a superstar. Shawn Michaels is the most decorated superstar in history.
But what I am is the showstopper, the headliner, the main event, the icon of the WWE. Yours truly, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I was a shy, very quiet kid. No one was more surprised than the people who really knew me back home in Texas about this line of work that I was in. In the wrestling business, we have good guys and bad guys, or as we used to reference it, heels and baby faces. The opportunity came for me to be a heel. As I turned into a heel and I began to sort of go on this journey of who this character, this gimmick would be, it just continued to grow. And it certainly unleashed in me this, I don't know, this side of where I could just go out there and do absolutely anything. But it came out through, honestly, through drugs and alcohol. It was the only way that I had the ability to show any type of personality other than the shy, quiet kid. We used to say things, or certainly I said things like, hey, man, I only party when I'm on the road. Okay, we're on the road 250 plus days a year. Hello. You know, I got into wrestling at 19. I hadn't even really found out who I was as a man yet. They all just sort of melded into one, and I didn't know where Shawn Hickenbottom ended and Shawn Michaels began, to be perfectly honest. As if the marriage and everything didn't happen fast enough, 6 weeks after we're married, we find out she's pregnant. And now by this time, she's realized that the little partying that she saw me doing is not just a little thing. It's like he does that every day. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've got 9 months to clean up. The baby is born on many levels. I can grasp that it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, but I still don't have the ability to turn into this man that I need to become. She's continuing to go to Bible study and she's just changing. And I don't know, there's just something about her as all this is going on. She's not pushing me anymore towards anything. She's just an unbelievable mom and an unbelievable wife. So I'm yearning to be a better husband for her. So it's the weekend and I'm getting myself into a little bit of a haze. My son's crawling on me and I can hear him faintly say, Daddy's tired. And for the first time ever, I realize, you know, he's two, and he can now see that there's a difference in me. And it just hits me like a ton of bricks, like, oh my goodness. He sees it now. I mean, I, and of course I can flash back to remembering, you got 9 months. And all these times of, I'm gonna change, I'm gonna change, it's like 2 years later, 3 years later. I can't do this anymore. It bothered me so much. Lo and behold, one day I find myself in the parking lot of Cornerstone Church. I'm drawn to this place. I know that the good Lord is trying to tell me something, and I know it's in that big building. And I say, look, I'm looking for a Bible study. The lady looks up at me, and I think she thinks at first I'm there to rob the place. This gentleman sticks his head out of his office. He's their computer guy. He says, you can come to mine. And he goes, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, I'll give you directions to my house. Well, he tells me, look, Sean, to be a part of this Bible study, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Would you like that? And I said, something? I think I would. He leads me in the sinner's prayer, and I just weep like a baby. This feeling comes over me that it's like, they discipled me. My life was never, it's never been the same. I never touched another drug. It's so funny, I came home. I'm like, oh my goodness, the greatest thing ever. I'm driving home. I come in the door. I said, honey, I know what it is. It's Jesus. I'm saved. And I tell her everything that happened.
Oh,
I hope you enjoyed those testimonies by Hulk Hogan, Terry, I forgot his last name, he said it, and then Shawn Michaels. Those are former professional wrestlers, some of the most iconic professional wrestlers, and they talked about finding Jesus Christ. And I hope you have found him too. Before we continue and get into the Word, I want to listen to one more song. Now, we live in a world that is so difficult. So much going on, so much division, so many challenges, health, and we just get worried. And we're going to look at John. John is not just a concept he gives about Jesus, but a real tangible relationship with Jesus Christ that goes beyond what I see here into what I know through Jesus Christ. And this is one of my favorite contemporary Christian songs. It came from a movie called God's Not Dead, and it's just about this woman singing about her, everything's going haywire in life, but she knows she's going to depend on the love of God, and that will set us into John chapter 1. So I hope you enjoy and you think about the message of, I know, because a lot of us don't know. We don't have that faith, and so when push comes to shove, we're like, I know alcohol, or I know something else, and we need to depend on the Lord. I know I need to too. And that's all we know is God. And God is eternal. God is everything. And so I want to play this psalm for you now, What I Know.
It's been another day when it seems like faith eludes me. Everything's been so confusing. Fear got the best of me. Now I'm lying here worried about tomorrow, 'cause the weight of everything I don't know is so heavy I can't sleep. But the truth remains the same, even when I don't know what to pray. But what I know is you, my God, are real. No matter how I feel, you've never let me go. And what I know is there will never be a day. You aren't just a breath away. And through it all, I've got a hold to what I. I could throw my fist in the air demanding answers, but in spite of all the questions, I'm still giving you my life. And if it doesn't turn out like I think it should, it doesn't change the fact you're always good. Your ways are higher than mine, and the truth remains the same.
we're going to be talking about what she's saying about what we know. What we know is Jesus Christ on this Hour of Hope. We're going to be in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The theme verse of the entire gospel, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm just glad you're with me on this wonderful Sunday. Had good weather this week. I wanted to give a shout out to the station manager, Virgil. I called him this week, and it's just a blessing when you hear his energy, his excitement, and his commitment to the local community. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. Just a wonderful blessing to have Virgil there at the radio station. Have you told other people that you have a working radio station? It's wonderful. And maybe you're listening online. So be sure to follow the radio station. My email again is mathewroman@gmail.com. The theme verse of the Gospel of John is, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So you get life. But let's look at the first five verses. I'm going to read it, and then we will jump right in. In the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. God, may this be a great time to focus on Christ. Help me to do a good job of teaching it. Thank you for those that are here, and I pray we would grow in our love and understanding for you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So John chapter 1, you heard it there. Well, what are we talking about? Well, put yourself back to the time when this was written in the first century. Just like today, you go to YouTube, you're in a class, there's all these different thoughts and views and perspectives out there. Well, there were one thing that people talked about a lot, regardless of your belief, was logos, or in that text, that would be the word word. So in the Greek, it was logos, but it's translated in the English as word. And let me tell you what logos meant in the sense. So people would be talking and they would debate about, well, what is the logos? First, you had the Stoics believed, I'm just reading this, that the practice of virtue is enough to achieve well-lived life, so having character. The Stoics understood logos to be the rational principle by which everything exists and which is of the essence of the rational human soul. As far as they were concerned, there's no other God than logos, and all that exists has sprung from seminal logo, logi, seeds of the logos. So they would argue that way. Then you had Philo. Philo makes a distinction between the ideal world, which he calls the logos of God, and the real of phenomenal world, which is but its copy. In particular, logos for Philo can refer to the ideal man, the primal man, from which all empirical human beings derive. So you just have the idea of the logos, however they thought about it philosophically. That was the essence of where all knowledge, that's the essence that brought order. Then you had the Jewish people, and they were a little different. They believed there was a God. The Old Testament says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And sometimes they would refer to God as the Word of God. So they connected this logos to God's powerful working in his creation. There was just so many different views and perspective. And what we see John does is he takes this concept of logos and he puts a concreteness to it. It's not the abstract. He says, okay, specifically. And let's look at what he writes here in John chapter 1, verse 1. So he says, in the beginning was the Word. What that means is, John is saying, when the beginning started, the Word was already there. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. he's saying when everything that was created, the word was already in existence. It was eternal. In other words, it wasn't created. So he says, in the beginning was the Logos, or the word. So he's giving his view on it. And the word was with God. Well, there he's saying this Logos, whatever it is, it existed when, before creation, is in relationship with the God, the true God. He doesn't say there's abstract. He said, no, this word was with God. And then he says, in fact, the word was God. Well, how can you be with someone and be that someone? Well, the Bible shows that there is one God, but there's three persons of that God: God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Now, I know some of you understand that, but some of you listening are like, I'm really confused. You said he's one, but then there's three. Yes, that's where we get what we've dubbed in English. It's not in the Bible. We use it for teaching the Bible, for this concept of God being three in one. Trinity, tri, three, entity, unity, three in one. And he is saying the word existed when creation was being created. The word was there. The word existed in relationship with God. And in fact, the word was God. Verse 2, he says, the same was in the beginning with God. Now that sounds unusual, because you're like, well, you just said in the beginning was the word. Why do you need to say again, the same was in the beginning with God? Well, here's the reason. He is saying the word that we have today, this being who is the word, he didn't change. Like, who he is today is who he was when in the beginning. So it's not any kind of change or evolution. He is God, the word. He's the same. So that's helpful, and here's why. So they also had a very much this, they would debate stuff and debate knowledge. And there would be this teacher who would say, I have this new teaching or this secret teaching. And then people would go to that teacher. And then another one would have another new teaching. And people would jump all over in this idea of, well, there's a new teaching, a new way of understanding how the word is devolving. He's saying, no, there's not some new teaching. There is the word that was exactly like the word was when everything was created, is how it is today. So you don't see this changeness. And then verse 3, he says, so we see the nature of the word is the word is eternal, meaning he doesn't have a beginning or an end. He was number 2, the word is with God. He has a relationship with God. He's in relationship. He's with where God is, and he is God. And then he's a being that does not change. He's consistent. Verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the source of all creation. Now, again, I want to bring this a little bit to the modern teaching. Over and over again, there will be books that come up. And I like books. Read, obviously, it's good. Or a new teaching. And they'll have some new teaching. I remember there's one called The Secret. And it's not bad that there's new ideas of doing stuff. But we need to be careful in thinking, is there some new hidden knowledge that God's given us that we don't have? Or do we have what we need? Let me read you a verse. It's in Deuteronomy. Actually, I think it's Numbers. And it says, the secret things, I'm getting to it, belong. So the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. That's actually Deuteronomy 29:29. In other words, the secret knowledge, the secret things that we don't know, we don't get to know. But those things which are revealed, the word of God, we get to know. We have what we need to understand God. Let's go on with John back to John 1:1. Also, that tells me that if I'm going to know God, I have to have an understanding of the Word. Because if the Word is God, and the Word was with God, and I want to understand relationship with God, and I want to understand where we came from and where we're going, I've got to understand the Word of God. The other thing, realize anything on this world, any knowledge, it all changes. But he's saying the Word doesn't. And then he tells you what's in him. So what is in something matters, right? So if I give you, let's say I give you a Twinkie. I haven't had a Twinkie in a minute. Now I'm kind of thinking about a Twinkie. And I say, oh, here's a Twinkie. Well, you pull it out and there's that nice, white, fattening cream sugar feeling, right? But let's say you open it up and it's mud in there. You're like, oh, it's chocolate. And then you're like, oh, no, that's mud or something worse. Well, it really matters what's in. You're not eating that Twinkie. You're throwing it away. So he says, in him, so we get that the Word or the Logos is a him, was life. Well, what is life? Life is an interesting word. It's in John a whole lot. Tons and tons of the talks about life. Remember we talked about believing that we can have life, that verse in later in John. Well, life is freedom. Life is a relationship with God, like the Word was with God. We have a relationship with God. Life is freedom from the bondage of this world. Life is so many things. Life is freedom. Life is peace. Life provides all these things. It's living. It's like you're alive. You have freedom, whereas death, you don't. So if you don't have the Word, you don't have life. And so many people, when we are doing other things that like addictions, whatever, we're looking for life, but we'll never find it in what's offered here on this earth. And the problem is our flesh, we keep running to those things, but they won't satisfy us because they won't fill up our soul that's in him is life. If you get him, you get life. It's not just eternal life in the sense of I'm going to heaven. It's a real spiritual relationship with God. And then he says, then the life was the light of men. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and stepped on a Lego? I think I did that once. That kind of hurts, doesn't it? You're walking around, you can't see, I should say, the darks, and there's a Lego, or you step on something else that's sharp, or you trip over something because you can't see. If you're walking around in the darkness, you can't really see. He says the light, or how we see things, spiritually perceive things, is connected to his life. If you want to be able to spiritually see, you have to get him, because it's the life. It's the light of men. So many times people don't see because they don't have the light to be able to see. And then he finishes up the light. So the light. So let's back up. In him was life. Everybody needs life. They don't need religion. Religion is stuff we do. Life is life. And he says, the life is the light of men. So there's being able to see spiritually. And then we see something really neat. The light shineth in darkness. So let me ask you a question. What's the darkness? So if in him was life, and the life was the light of men, always do context. So if you don't have him, what do you not have? You don't have life, and you don't have what? Light. So the darkness is the people that do not have him, because they don't have life, and then they don't have light. The light shineth in the darkness. In other words, reveals in the darkness. And then notice what it says about the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Huh. What does it mean to comprehend something? I have a friend that's an electrician. He was charting out a real basic wire thing, and I looked down and I was like, I told him, I said, I have no idea what that means, but to you it makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. the idea of comprehending, it's not just that you understand some facts, but you really understand how it relates to your life. He said the problem is not that the light is not available. The problem is not that life is not available. The problem is not that he's not available. The problem is the darkness does not perceive it. So if you see people who act like they don't have any kind of life, it's because they don't have him. In him was life. He's the him, the word. The word is what? The word that was in the beginning, the word that was with God, the word that was God, the word that didn't change, the word that basically created everything. In him was life, and life was the light of men. It shines and they don't understand it. And this is going to be like such a preachy thing to say, but I think if you think about it, it's true. The greatest need we have as people is to comprehend the word that was in what it says right here. Because our greatest need is life, but if we don't comprehend its shining, we will not experience the life that is in Jesus Christ. Because the word, and we're going to jump down to verse 14 of chapter 1, but we're going to cover the rest next week. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son, Father, full of grace and truth. So what I want to say is the word, the Logos, becomes flesh. God becomes a man. Flesh, like you, pinch yourself. It's flesh. Of course, it's talking about Jesus Christ. So John is doing something very different. The other Gospels, they have Jesus' birth, a lot more details about Jesus' life. But here with John, he just jumps right in with saying, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. If you're listening and you think about this, another thing we make a mistake is we come to Jesus and think, well, I got to get religious. Now, I understand that because in church we're talking about Jesus. But he is not talking about being religious. He's talking about comprehending what I've just read, that comprehending specifically him that has life. We need to completely grasp. And when we do, then we put our faith in him. So that's where we're going to leave off today. And I have a question. Do you have the life? Well, you're like, I don't know what you mean. Well, if you comprehend and you really truly believe and understand what I've just read, if I say to you, do you believe Jesus is God? And you're like, no, I don't. Well, that you don't comprehend. Because comprehension is more than just passing a smart test. Comprehension means I can completely grasp. So you've got to go beyond just comprehending in just a factual way, but really understanding what this means for you. And then the next step is to embrace it for yourself. And then you get light, you get life, you get that wonderful relationship with God. Maybe you have that and you've been straying. Well, let's get back to focusing on perceiving and understanding all that God has for us. I think Peter wrote in 2 Peter, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3. So that concludes our Bible. It's important that we think about all of this and how important it is, because he's saying the only place to find life is in the Word. And if we, meaning Jesus Christ, and if we don't have Christ, we don't have life. We may think we do, but we're not understanding and comprehending the true big picture. Remember to check with us next week as we'll continue through the Gospel of John. The music we got, we listened to today, they and the testimonies, they come from YouTube, and I do MP3, and I'm just going to read some. Ron Hamilton, who you're going to listen to in a minute, is The Secret Place. Trisha Brock Lyrics, What I Know, Trisha Brock Lyrics. Shawn Michaels' testimony, Hulk Hogan's faith in Jesus, Here I Am, Lord, arranged by Ovid Young, Luther College Cathedral Choir, and This Is Amazing Grace, LU Praise. So if you want to check those out, go to YouTube. This has been Pastor Matthew Vroman of Safe Harbor Church in Akaten, Alaska. This is Hour of Hope, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday, or being with you next Sunday. Let me close in prayer. And if you would like to communicate to God that you want to really comprehend so you can experience life, pray with me right now. Say, God, I don't understand everything, but I really want to comprehend what you're talking about in the Gospel of John. I want that life. And I thank you so much for dying for me, rising from the dead. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Help all those that are listening, wherever they're at, get to know you better. Thank you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish off this program with Ron Hamilton. He died a couple years ago. He had this tremendous impact on just tons of people through his ministry, but his ministry came out of losing an eye as a child. I believe it was cancer. And he just, whenever I hear him or see him, I always remember that whatever we go through, God can truly use it to bring him glory. It's never the end of the chapter, end of the story with our struggles. It's the beginning of a great work God's going to do through us if we will just submit and yield to him. Enjoy Ron Hamilton. Or as so many people know him, as Patch the Pirate. If you've never heard of Patch the Pirate, you can go to YouTube and others and see him, because the number of children and individuals he's touched through the disability that he had with his eye is amazing. So again, Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate.
I found a secret place of comfort and release, a special place of healing, a quiet place of peace. And everyone who dwells there finds rest beneath God's wings. In the shade of his pavilion, new strength he always brings.
Far away from the world's end. seek his face in the secret place. I find hope, I find grace, far away from the world's embrace. He gives me rest, he keeps me safe. I find his strength, I seek his face.
He gives me rest, I seek his face.